toward naturally. But every one of them are things that God kind of says, hey, you need to get a handle on this. And you need to let me deal with this. You let me kind of work through this. And the bottom line to the whole question is, what if in any of these things we did it God's way instead of our way? If we put this together in God's way instead of putting it together in our way. So we're in the third week of this series called What If? And the purpose is to just explore some of these possibilities of abandoning some, maybe you could call them bad habits, I don't know if that's a good way to say it or not, or things that we've picked up and throughout life, and turn those into good habits or good things. Abandoning some of those ideas and ideals that just get us off track, and thereby replacing with things that help us to walk the way that God wants us to walk, to be more productive in our lives and more effective in our lives and more satisfying in our lives and more of what God wants us to be. Last week we looked at what I referred to as the most difficult, probably, of all these adaptations that we're kind of talking about, and that is changing the way we think. And actually, that is the what if, that if we can get a handle on that one, it affects all of the rest of these in a positive way. If we can get a handle on how we think, then the rest of these seem to just fall in line. And so we looked at, you know, our thought process and the mind, and God talks about, and the scriptures talk about the mind so often. But today I want to hit one that all of us have a tendency toward. And that is, what if I gave up worry? Now, some of us sitting here are just, we can define us this way, we are worriers, right? I mean, we worry about everything. We worry about if the sun's going to shine and be too hot, and the next day we worry about if it's going to rain and we get too much water, and then we worry about the next day if it's going to snow, and then the next day we worry about getting too hot and melting so we can worry the next day about it freezing again. You get the point? Some of us are that way, right? I mean, we'll find something to worry about no matter what. Well, I want us to think about this morning. What if I let go of worry? What if I just took that human tendency and set it aside and replaced it with a trust in the Lord and a trust in God? And as we think about worry this morning, we're going to learn some things that apply to every one of us. So let's jump into it real quick. Let's talk about the problems that worry gets you into. Some things that worry just gets you into that you'd rather not be there. The first one is this. Worry causes health problems. You may think, well, that's not very biblical, Mark. What are you talking about? Worry, health problems? It's very biblical. When you think about it, worry causes all sorts of health problems. When you begin to take a look at this worry, you can see that it causes nothing but trouble in your life. Did you know that the old English word from which we get the word worry is a word that literally meant to choke? You ever felt that way when you worry? Like you're just being choked to death. Like you can't make decisions, you can't do anything, it just kind of chokes your life. And worry has this choking quality about it, doesn't it? In fact, it causes all kinds of health problems and leads to anxiety and leads to sleeplessness and leads to a loss of appetite for some of us. For others of us, it leads to eating more. So, you know, it kind of works on both sides of that thing. And it leads to headaches and acid reflux and high blood pressure and ulcers and all those other kind of things that we know about. That if we could just deal with the worry, we wouldn't have to deal with some of these other things, the health issues. And so let's just get that on the table. First thing, worry oftentimes leads to health problems. Simply put, a lifelong habit of worry will drive you to an early grave. So, if for no other reason, we need to get rid of the worry simply because we'd be healthier if we didn't worry so much. But here's another one. Worry keeps you from enjoying the moment. To kind of use an old cliche, worry doesn't just remove years from your life, it removes life from your years. It prevents you from getting the most out of today. Have you ever found yourself, I mean, just in the most beautiful setting you could ever imagine? The sun is shining, the sky is clear, the air is fresh, life is filled with beautiful colors. I mean, it is almost the perfect moment. But you can't enjoy it because you're worrying about something. Have you been there? I mean, the scene is just perfect. But as you're standing there, your mind keeps going, yeah, but what if this, and what if this, and I'm worried about this, and what's going to happen with this, and you can't even enjoy the moment. Wouldn't it be nice if I didn't have this problem to deal with? Wouldn't it be nice if I didn't have this worry and I could just enjoy all of this? You know, worry takes away enjoyment in life. Worry causes us not to be able to enjoy the moment of where we are. Not just with beauty, it does it a lot of things. Think about family time together. You know, families together, it should be a good time, enjoyable time, and you're sitting there just worrying about something. You can't even enjoy the time together with family because of the worry. There's another thing that a problem we get into, and that is this, and maybe this is the worst of all. Worry is a sin. Worry is a sin. Worry stems from a lack of faith, and anything that is not of faith, the Bible says, is sin. We worry and we're saying, in effect, God, this problem is bigger than you are, and I don't believe I can count on you to take care of this problem. Therefore, what I need to do is I need to worry about it so I can figure out how to fix this problem. Have you been there? We could all raise our hands and say yes. Because sometimes we think the problem is bigger than anything or anyone that we know. And so we spend our time just worrying about it. Instead of recognizing God for who He is and recognizing the power that He has and recognizing the ability that He has to take anything and deal with it, we do what? We worry about it. And quite frankly, most often we can't do anything about it anyway, right? Most often it's not something that we can even fix. Have you ever found that those are the things that you usually worry about the most? You worry about the things that you can't fix and you can't do anything about. And the things that you could do something about are things that you don't even focus on at all. But it's these things over here that we spend so much time worrying about. Wouldn't it be so much better to say, God, I will do whatever I need to do to take care of this situation, but I'm putting my faith and my trust in You. You see, worry gets us into all kinds of problems. So, what good will it do? If you're worrying in your life, if you're worrying about all these kind of things, what good will it do in your life if you kind of set aside the worry and say, okay, I am going to begin to learn the lessons to let God deal with this and to set aside the worry? Well, let me tell you some things I think it will help you with. One of them is this. You'll learn to focus on what's important. You'll learn to focus on the important things of life and not the unimportant things of life. There's an old proverb that says something like this: worry often gives small things a big shadow. Did you catch that? Worry often gives small things a big shadow. When we worry, we tend to overemphasize the significance of very small and less than significant things. Listen to this verse found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Jesus said this: therefore I tell you, boy, this is going to hit us. Who said this now? Jesus said this: therefore I tell you, do not what? Worry about your life. What you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Now, I want you to notice something about that verse before we go any further. Jesus did not say, therefore I tell you, think about not worrying. Did you catch that? He didn't say that. Jesus did not say, you know, I'm telling you guys, just try not to worry or think about not worrying or any of that kind of stuff. What did He say? He said, I tell you, do not worry. Sounds pretty much like a command to me, doesn't it? And if we worry, then it goes back to that sin thing. If we're worrying and Jesus said don't worry, but we're still worrying over here and Jesus said don't do it, then what's happening? You see? Don't worry. We'll learn to focus on the things that are important. Most things that we worry about are so trivial. especially when we compare them to the things that truly are important. Time magazine read an article a few years ago about a sergeant. He'd been wounded in battle. He'd been hit in the throat by a shell fragment, and he'd had several blood transfusions. He obviously ended up in the hospital, and before he went into surgery, he wrote to the doctor, because he couldn't talk because they had tubes and things, and he wrote to the doctor, and he said, "Will I live?" And the doctor said, "Yes." And the guy said, "Will I be able to talk?" And the doctor said, "Yes." So he wrote another note, and on that he said, "Then what in the world am I worried about?" You see, he got the picture. Why worry? You learn the things that are most important. There's a second good that will come from it if we learn how to deal with this worry, and that is you'll recognize the provision of God. In other words, if we let God take care of it and we recognize God's going to take care of it and this is not one for me to carry and I can't do anything about it anyway, so why worry about it? Then all of a sudden we recognize that God is going to provide and take care of it. Listen to this verse, verse 30 of Matthew chapter 6. If that is how God, again, Jesus is talking, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Again, so many of the things we worry about are trivial. And in my experience, most of the things that we worry about never come to pass. Thomas Jefferson said this, "How much pain they have cost us, the evils which have never happened." That's true, isn't it? The things that never happen are the things that oftentimes tear us down. We have to realize that God will provide. God clothes the grass of the field. Will he take care of us? God does so much. Will he not be faithful to us? So what good will it do not to worry or to learn how to deal with this? We'll learn how to focus on the things that are important, and we will learn that God is going to take care of us. So now you're sitting there. I can see it. You're sitting there going, "Okay, Mark, I got it. Not supposed to worry. You know, there's some bad things about it, therefore I shouldn't do it. There's some good things if I don't worry, therefore I shouldn't worry." And you're going, "Okay, I got all that. I still worry," right? You're going, "How do I put this into practice? You know, I understand all of this, so how do I put this principle into practice? What if I could learn not to worry?" Here's some things to help us put it into practice. First one is this. Check your priorities. Just check your priorities. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus preached on the topic of worry. He taught us something about worry. And we read the passage, and as we read the passage, you read this idea of how to deal with worry. And he talks about dealing with priorities. He reminds us in this section of Scripture right here, is the section of Scripture where he says, "Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up treasures in heaven." What is that? It's a priority. It's a priority that we lay up or store our treasures or invest our time, energy, talents for things that are internal and not things that are short term. He reminds us in this section of Scripture, he tells the story about the two masters, and he ends up by saying, "You cannot serve two masters." That's in this section of Scripture right here. And in talking about that, he's reminding us that, hey, we cannot both worry and trust God at the same time. Either we're going to trust God and say, "All right, God, this is yours to deal with," or we're going to pick it up and worry, and what's that do with God? You see, it's a matter of priorities, and all through this section of Scripture, he talks about priorities. It is in this section of Scripture that he talks about this idea of money and the use of money and how to put it in a proper perspective. But then he tells us, verse 34, and this is a priority issue, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well." You see, when you go through the list of all the things he's just talked about, and you walk down that list and look at that list, and you get to the very end of the section, he says, here's the priority. Seek the kingdom of God first. In other words, follow God, trust God, put your hope in him. Seek the kingdom of God first. Then all these other things that we just talked about, they'll all come together. they will all move the way that they need to move. Worry is a signal that something isn't right. And usually, it's related to our priorities. When we worry, it's because we're putting something ahead of God. It means that when we worry, that sin's probably involved in some way or another because we're not letting God take care of it. When I get wrapped up in worry, I begin to ask myself, what have I put ahead of God? If I'm worrying, what is it in my life that I have put ahead of my trust in God? Think about this. If you're worried about something, it may be because you've put it too high on your priority list. What do you worry about? What are things right now that you're kind of worried about? Is it what the neighbors think about you? You can't do anything about what the neighbors think about you anyway, right? How about job security? Is that a worry? You know, am I going to walk in this week and get a pink slip at my job? Is that a worry? Or I'm looking for a job and I can't find a job. Is that a worry? Well, let me ask you. Other than doing the best job that you can at the place where you're already employed and or working as diligently and hard as you can to find a job, what else can you do? You see, worrying about it doesn't change either one of those circumstances, because if you may be doing the absolute best job that you can do in the place where you're employed, but for some reason they're laying people off and you're one of those people, you can't do anything about it anyway, right? So why worry? Or if you're looking for a job and you're seeking one, you're out there doing the best you can do and you're diligently working and working, but they're not hiring you, guess what? You can't do anything about that either. So what good does worrying about it do? It does not change the circumstance at all. Or how about that promotion at work? You're worried, am I going to get that promotion or somebody else going to get that promotion? Well, if you're diligent in your job, you're doing the best you can do, and you're out there saying, you know, I would like this, what else can you do? You get my point to all of this? I mean, do the best you can do. Be the best servant you can be. Work as hard as you can work. But guess what? There are a lot of things in life that are just out of your control. So why worry about them? Or here's one. How about stock market, finances, 401k, retirements, all those things? Now, in some of those areas, you may have some latitude with what you can do with some of that money, and you want to make sure it's invested as the best it can. Some of your retirements, you may not have anything to do with that retirement or your 401k or what's happening with the stock market. So what good does it do to worry about it? Doesn't the Bible say something about God clothing the grass? Therefore, He'll do what? Clothe you. You see, what good does it do to worry about it? It's a matter of priority. It's a matter of what's important. Here's a second thing to put on this list of how do we put it into practice. Not only check your priorities, but check your prayer life. Check your prayer life. You see, just as worry is kind of a signal that something isn't right, it's also a signal that we need to devote more time in communication with God. We probably need to devote more time in prayer. Paul writes this in the book of Philippians. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything." That's another idea of worry. "But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Prayer has the power to remove worry and anxiety from your life. When you give it a chance. When you give it a chance. You see, prayer is the power of God. Prayer has the ability to open the floodgates of heaven. Prayer is a way that we go before God and we leave before Him the things that we know we can't do anything about. Prayer oftentimes is the thing that allows us to leave the worries behind. Check your prayer life. You see, James said this, "You do not have because you do not ask." Now, we oftentimes think about money when we think about that. I don't have it because I don't ask God for it. But actually, money's probably way down on the list of things that James was even thinking about when he said that. Money wasn't the big issue. We do not have the things that God wants us to have because we don't ask for them. In other words, we don't have freedom from worry. Why? We haven't asked. We don't have the place of ministry that we think we ought to, or a place where we can work. Why? Maybe because I haven't gone to God and said, God, I'm open for you to use me in ministry. Open the doors for me. We don't have because we haven't asked. And we have a tendency to carry those things along, and we have the tendency to look ourselves without ever going to God and saying, God, help me and show me and direct me and provide for me. We have a tendency to handle those things, especially this, if we think they are small things. We don't want to, and you've heard this, we don't want to bother God with the small things. Heard it? You know, if it's something big and major, I'll take that one to God. Well, I have a thought for you. Everything with God is a small thing. Got it? Everything with God is a small thing. You know, it may look like a mountain to us, but guess what? To God, that's not even an anthill. It may look like an obstacle we can never get over, but to God, He's straddling it on both sides. In other words, there is nothing all that big for God. Therefore, don't think, oh, this is too small for God, or this is one that God doesn't need to deal with. Everything is small with Him. And let me say this. If you have a tendency to think, I worry too much, I'm spending too much time just worrying about this and that, check your prayer life. It may be that you're not spending enough time going to the Lord and saying, help me deal with this. Help me work through this. Check your prayer life. There's the third one, and that is check your practices. Check your practices. Dale Carnegie said, if you have a worry problem, you should do three things. And here are the three things that Dale Carnegie said you should do. You may want to write these down. One, ask yourself, what is the worst that can happen? What's the worst thing that can happen? Two, prepare to accept it if you have to. And sometimes there are things in life we just have to accept. And three, calmly proceed to improve on the worst. All of those are action things that we can do, and all of us lead to moving in the right direction in our practices. You know, the magic in this formula is in taking that action, doing something about it. And there are a lot of things that we can do something about, and it's not just a matter of setting back and saying, okay, what's happening now? Okay, what's going on now? Okay, have you ever noticed that worriers have a tendency not to be people of action? And I'm not knocking anybody, but have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed on the other side of that, that people of action very rarely are considered to be worriers? Check your practices. Philippians chapter 4, Paul says it this way. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. In other words, check your practices. You know, worry is a signal that something probably isn't right. It's not part of God's plan of life for us to worry. As a matter of fact, go back to the command of Jesus. What did He say? Don't worry. So if Jesus said don't worry and we're worrying, then we ought to go, whoa, something's not quite right here. Therefore, if we put into practice these things so that we can follow them, then all of a sudden we put the worry aside, and all of a sudden we start looking to the Lord, and God will come in and say, all right, let me deal with this. So ask yourself some questions if you are a worrier. Some questions that may help you deal with the worry. One of them is this. What are my priorities here? So when you're looking at a circumstance of life, just ask yourself the question. What are my priorities here? Am I seeking God first in this situation, or am I seeking me first? Am I trusting Him, or am I trusting me? Do I want what He wants in my life, or do I want what I want in my life? And then have I prayed about this? Have I spent time asking the Lord and seeking the Lord and laying this at the Lord's feet? And then have I taken action in the direction of my worries? have I taken action about those things in my life that I seem to worry about? You know, maybe even small steps, small actions in the beginning to begin to take care of those things. The truth is, we often hang on to our worries like they're a precious friend. We hang on to our worries kind of like they're our security blanket. But all along, they're just pulling us down and tearing us down. And Jesus said, don't worry. He also said, seek first His kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you. That's how you get the victory over worry. So just ask yourself, what if I didn't worry? What would my life be like if I didn't worry? And then put into practice the actions we've talked about. Put into practice the things that we've mentioned this morning. Look at the priorities. Pray about it. And then do something about it. And when you do those things, then the worry will just kind of subside and go away. We all worry a little bit, don't we? And we all have things that cause worry. So here's your assignment for the week. Are you ready? Pick one of those things, one of those worries, whatever it is. Just pick one, because quite frankly, you can't deal with all your worries at the same time, right? So just pick one, whatever it is, and go through the steps that we've talked about this morning. And see if you're not finding that that worry is subsiding and even going away. And then pick the next thing you're kind of looking at and worried about. Put those steps in place and see if the worry isn't subsiding and going away. Trust the Lord. Stand up, will you? You know, one of the things that I think we have as Christians, when people see us and we see that we're not quite worried like they are, they go, what's different about you? Maybe it's one of those things that people see in us sometimes and they want, is our ability to go through those different stages and places of life and problems of life and walk through those without worry. And they go, I want something like that too. Do you know that that in and of itself is a witness for the Lord, and it's one of those things where you're actually praising the Lord through your life by giving up the worries. Day by day, whatever's going on from the rising of the sun to the going down of the sun, praise the Lord by being a witness to Him by giving up your worries. Sing this song as we close this morning, because it talks about the rising of the sun and going down the same. Praising the Lord through all of that. Sometimes we do it by surrendering those worries to Him. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord shall be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord shall be praised. Praise ye the to the going down of the same. The name of the Lord shall be praised. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
rising of the sun to the going down of the same. The name of the Lord shall be praised.
So this week, whatever you do, wherever you go, make sure that you're praising the Lord in all the things you're doing, and sometimes that's a matter of surrendering your worry to Him and thereby praising Him. I hope to see all of you Wednesday night. Come back next Sunday morning. Join us. I hope this is just a great week for you. So think about this week. What's that one thing I'm going to say? Okay, Lord, this one's yours. I'm not dealing with this anymore, and I'm just going to set this one aside. I got enough to deal with back here, right? And see what the Lord will do with that. Have a good week. Thank you for being here today.